Next, we get to the actual part of where Kabbalah fits into this picture of personal evolution. And I do believe that the doing the path workings on the tree and getting a copy of this marvelous book by Dolores Ashcroft Nwicki, that being The Shining Paths, is a great idea for your study of Kabbalah as a method of personal evolution and enlightenment. So in this book, and as in any book that treats the subject of doing the paths on the tree, it begins at the 32nd path, and you may recall from first or second class that we did the 32nd path working, and it is a very good idea to start at the 32nd path and go all the way up the tree to the 11th path, and then follow the spheres from Malkut to Keter.
You wouldn't do the spheres first and then the
No, that's not. And actually, if you look at the way the book is organized, that's what she does here. She goes from the 32nd path to the 11th path, and then from Malkut to Keter.
I have tried to do a couple of the paths. What's happened is I've had to read them over a couple of times, and then I recorded one.
That's the if you have the capability of recording.
But it's like a tape recorder, an old
fashioned,
and it takes so much.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, if you can still, the difference between reading it and hearing it read is that it goes into a different part of your brain. When you're reading it, it's primarily a left brain kind of an activity. And if you know, depending on how much you can get into it, it has a greater or lesser chance of being able to reach the parts that you really need to address in order to be able to connect with the thought form of the path. If you have the ability to just read it into a microphone and play it back while your breath is controlled and your eyes are closed and you're fully engaged in the inner visual process, you get so much more out of it. I know that the group that Leanne and Jim and I used to be members of the KFC group. We went through, I think we went through the whole book. The chicken cabalist. No, the Kentucky Fried Kabbalah.
Yeah, something like that.
We went through the whole book, and those times when I was reading the path working rather than participating in it, I didn't get nearly as much out of it. I didn't find it as memorable as those times when I was listening to somebody else reading. So that's that, you know, if you can do that, it's worthwhile. I know that Dolores actually recorded all of these onto several CDs, but it's expensive,
again.
And
they're expensive, but it's available again, and hearing her do it is so
priceless.
Wonderful. Oh my God,
she's wonderful. If you've never seen Dolores Ashcroft Nwicki, you should make an effort.
Save up your money and go. She's coming in later the weekend to Sealy Court.
Yes,
and she's 80, 81.
Mm-hmm.
And she may not be able to travel outside of Great Britain for that much longer because the insurance for her to travel for her health has become astronomical as she's gotten much older. So every chance you get, she's amazing. She's an amazing teacher.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, please do.
The other question I had, you answered the first one that I was having, is are they recorded or not? Maybe I can look at it and record it. But anyway, the second thing is, how fast one go, just on one's own speed, or does like one take one a week?
Well, actually, there's a recommendation in the book for that very thing, and it's suggested that you take it at a very measured pace, at least to begin with. One a week, one every couple of weeks is probably okay. What the great danger in trying to zoom through them is that you kind of become addicted to that, to being in that state, and instead of absorbing the lessons that are part of these path workings, you get caught up in the stories, and it's sort of like renting the whole first season of whatever. I remember doing something like that with Lost. Yeah, when I was recovering from an operation, and I just spent the whole day in front of the computer watching this thing one after another, and that's not, you know, it wasn't, other than the fact that I was zoned out on painkillers, it was a complete waste of my mind. And the same thing would happen with, if you were to do the path workings one right after the other, it would be a waste of your time, because you need to not only do you have to get this stuff into your head as imagery, but you also have to put it into your dreamscape, because even the dreams that you don't remember, things are going on in there, and the symbols that you get while you're following the paths get incorporated into that whole mix of symbols that you have available to turn messages and information from your lower self and from your higher self into something that your middle self, that your thinking, waking mind can comprehend.
Last question, because I have many big songs.
Okay.
Would you do it like once a week, the same one, or would you do it like?
No, I would suggest if you would like me to prescribe a process for you.
Prescription, okay.
What I would suggest you do for the first few paths, let's say for the first five paths, what have you, once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
Only listen to them once every 2 weeks.
Listen to the 32nd path, 2 weeks later listen to the 31st path, 2 weeks later listen to the 30th path.
But only one time.
Only one time. Yeah.
Oh.
Not every day.
Not every day. Yeah.
No.
You had mentioned something about, we were talking about the fool's path, the fast path, like the fact that you can...
That's the path of the mystic,
Knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and knowledge, but you never get to the place where you've actually applied it and acquired any wisdom.
Correct.
So by doing it too quickly, you're just gaining knowledge and knowledge and knowledge, but you're not...
I would say that's probably close to the truth.
Okay. So take your time.
Take your time, yeah.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's been there for thousands of years.
Yes.
It'll still be there.
Yes.
It's not going away tomorrow.
Oh,
my
God, it's found it.
Can you make us cry? Yes, exactly. When we come back, at least in 2 weeks, because we've done the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
From
I will kick you out the door.
Be wearing those bracelets.
Okay. Cool.
So I've mentioned in the past that I mentioned it today, that there is a thought form that exists on the astral plane which of the four worlds is this, kids? Yetzirah.
The thought form, that's
where the thought form that is the foundation of the paths of the tree exists, and this is something that exists independent of any books and any guys sitting in front of you talking about it, or of the tarot decks or what have you. These thought forms are deeply embedded into the astral by not only by the recent stuff that's been done. When I say recent, I'm talking about the last couple of thousand years. But I believe that the thought forms that are in place that make up what the real Tree of Life is have been there for thousands and thousands of years. I believe that in the absence of any written material or even oral tradition, that it would be possible to somehow tie into the thought form that's the Tree of Life and reconstruct it from scratch. I suspect that's what happened a couple thousand years ago when the Jewish mystics came upon it. That by meditating in just the right way, I can't tell you exactly how that might be, but meditating on certain symbols, perhaps things that are found in nature, it was possible to unlock this store of knowledge, and then all of a sudden it's all coming in through the top of their head or whatever, and it forms into a complete coherent structure that we now know as the Tree of Life. You don't believe me.
I do, except that I absolutely do. But okay. The quizzical look on my face, but they also had, besides on the astral level, I think they had a questioning on the this plane level. In other words, they had, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And to think about that. So it is, and the teacher and student would, the teacher would constantly query the student about the thought.
For hundreds and hundreds of years. And they hammered it out among themselves until they arrived at something that everyone pretty much agreed on. Yeah, that's a really exquisitely important thing. Do not accept this unquestioningly.
Right.
We are all pretty much bunch of fairly intellectual people, and we have a tendency to approach things in a rational way. Things that are presented to you as spiritual truths should not be accepted swallowed whole. There are things that you should talk with other people that are in this class, other people who have studied Kabbalah in one way or another. Do you see it this way? Or am I understanding this correctly? Or do you think this is a bunch of bunk or what? You know? Take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, please. Because what I'm teaching you is as I see it. And I may have gotten large chunks of this wrong. I don't think so, but, you know.
The possibility exists.
And, you know, at this point, I've been thinking about it, studying it, reading books on it, and so forth for most of a decade. And I still come across things that I never thought about it that way before, even though I've been thinking about this for a long, long time. So it resolves itself. It becomes more richly detailed the more you look at it and study it. It's a good way to spend one's time. So given that we only have about 15 minutes left, I need to move on to when I started putting together the outline on this class, this is the only part that I had. Now I'm relegating it to the last 15 minutes of the class. The second sheet. I'm not going to advocate that you read this now, because actually if you start to read this now, then you won't be able to hear anything that I have to say about it. But do take it home and read through the whole thing. There are actually online, you can watch somebody go through a lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. It's something that, as far as I know, originated with the Golden Dawn, which is turn of the last century kind of stuff, maybe 20s. And there are two rituals.
That was earlier than that.
Earlier than that?
Mid-1800s.
Okay. There are two rituals. There is the invoking ritual and the banishing ritual. And they really are, as far as I can see, identical, except for the way you scribe the pentagram. And we all know about scribing pentagrams. So if you invoke the invoking earth pentagram, you move from the spot above it toward the element. So
toward the element.
So we invoke, it goes spirit up here, earth, water, air, fire, spirit. And the same thing if you wanted to do an invoking pentagram of air, it'd be air, fire, spirit, earth, water. But they make it simple. In this ritual, you just use the earth ones. And that's, you know, it's perfectly, it's legitimate because, after all, we're on the earth.
You say dominant hand, though. How do you know which is your dominant hand? Isn't
which
it
hand
do
you write?
Right,
right,
yeah. Right, where mm-hmm. the whole, you know, yeah. Something's going to hold the first one.
So the way that this, that in rough outlines, the way that this works is you bring in a cross that consists of Keter at the top of the tree, Malkuth at the bottom of the tree, and if you're looking at this, it seems wrong because I'm saying I'm putting Geburah here on my right shoulder and Hesed at my left shoulder. But if you look at the illustration that I provide at the bottom of the outline, that's how it is. This being that is behind the tree here is sometimes referred to as Adam Kadmon, which is the exalted higher being, the pure form that we as human beings truly are, though we never reach that state while we're in our incarnate form. And
primal
the primal man, exactly. So this arrangement is as if you are standing within the tree, and above your head is the shining crown of Keter, and below your feet is the four-colored sphere of Malkuth, and hanging out here just off to the starboard is the red sphere of Geburah, and to the port it should be green, shouldn't it? But it's blue. The blue for your sailors there out there with the blue sphere of Geburah and connecting them, and this is the important part, and this is the part that really gives you the zap, is that you envision this sphere and you see a line of powerful energy descending through your central core all the way down to below your feet. Mm-hmm. And you see the brilliant line going from the red sphere of Geburah and going through and creating the blue sphere of Hesed over here. It just brings it into being. Or maybe it's there anyhow and connects it. But that's the way I see it in any case. So, and then after you have created this cross, you then bring the sphere of Tiferet, which is in the middle of these things, and I actually don't see this in most of the descriptions of this, but I cannot imagine how it could not be. The balancing sphere in the center of the tree is Tiferet, and when you say Leolaim, forever and ever, that's what it means. See the sphere of Tiferet in between your hands. And move it inward so that it is in that the center, okay? And it is it is, wow, a one powerful zap. So this begins and ends the ritual, the lesser invoking and banishing ritual. And in the middle, it is scribing of the pentagrams in brilliant light in the air in the east, south, west, and north, and then envisioning the four archangels that are, if you, I don't know if you still have your diagram with you that shows the archangels on the tree. But so it starts with, before me, Raphael. The angel Raphael is the angel of Malkuth. Don't leave it. Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Sandophon
is
Malkuth.
Yeah. Pardon me.
Raphael is Tiferet.
Tiferet, right, okay. So you're standing. Right. Okay. So this is, you are standing in the spot where you are facing Tiferet, and behind you is Yesod, which is the angel Gabriel or Gabriel, and to your right hand is the angel Michael, Michael. And that's the angel, archangel of Hod, and then to your left hand. Now, if you look at this diagram, it shows Hanael as the archangel of Netzach, but for whatever reason, the Golden Dawn uses Oriel as the archangel of Netzach, and I don't know, but apparently it works. So. In the process of doing this, with the exception of Chachma and Bina, you are creating all of the spheres of the tree in three dimensions around you. And you're not worrying about Da'at. We never worry about Da'at.
Get stuck in your
So,
actually, the back of the back of the net.
Yes, I know, but I'm not going to. What I would like to do, to just because it's relatively quick, I'm going to do the whole invoking ritual for you, and then what I'd like you to do is to stand up in place, and then we can all do the Kabbalah cross, Kabbalistic cross, pardon. So, and even ordinarily, you would be facing east to do this, and this is west. But if I were facing east, you would be seeing me butt. So I'm just going to do it here in the center.
With a lovely butt.
Yeah. So, all right. Now I'm going to prepare myself.
Can you move that microphone a little bit?
No, I'll be fine. Ate. Malkut. Vigabura. Vigadula Leolam. Amen. Yod he vav he
Adonai. Agala. Before me, Rafaela. Behind me, Gabriela. To my right hand, Micaela. To my left hand, Oraela. About me flame the pentacles, and within shines the six-rayed star. Ate Malkut Vigobura Vigadula Leolaim. Amen. Okay.
So, I would like you to stand, please. And hands relaxed at your sides. Okay, and just spend a moment to ground and center. Breathe. Reconnect with that grounding and centering that we did to start with. Bring yourself into full awareness of being here now. Dominant hand, either forefinger or two fingers. I like two fingers because it's more like a big old blade. And we begin by touching our forehead with the blade pointed upward, and we vibrate. And that's not just say or chant or what have you. You make a monotonous pronouncement of these syllables, and you feel vibration not only coming out of your voice but going through your being. So say Ate.
Ate.
And now touch your center for just a moment. Point your blade downward and say, vibrate,
Malkut.
Malkut.
Touch your right shoulder and vibrate,
Vegabura.
Vegabura.
Your left shoulder and say, vibrate,
Vegadula.
Vegadula.
Bring your hands in front of you as in prayer and vibrate,
Leolaim.
Push that sun into your center. Bring your hands to your sides again and vibrate.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let's do that together. And what I'd like you to do is, as you're doing this, visualize the brilliant sphere of Keter above you. Visualize the four-colored sphere of Malkuth below your feet. Visualize the red sphere of Gebura on your right shoulder, the blue sphere of Hesed, also known as Gedula, on your left shoulder. And as you go from one to the other, see that line of light connecting Keter to Malkut, then seeing Gebura connected with a line through your shoulders to Hesed. So, ready? Ate.
I wrote something on the whatever that thing is called, the what do you call it?
The forum.
Yes.
Did
you get that?
I did, and I answered.
That's okay.
I answered.
I haven't
yes.
been home. I've been at the
okay.
Safe
actually, I answered it within minutes, but that's
thank
okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just probably turned off the computer and didn't look at it after that. I'm sorry.
Well, we can't just read them yet.
No, I was just wondering if it just worked or not, and I will go
yeah.
home, and I promised to read it this
It
evening.
Absolutely worked, yes.
Okay. Now, should I have changed subjects?
It's up to you.
Same subject.
It's up to you.
Okay. I wouldn't know how to change the subject is a point. It's okay. Never mind.
Thank
okay.
you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you very
you
much.
You are certainly welcome.
Thank you very much.
The symbols for the four symbols that are here?
Yes.
I know that they're the Yod, He.
Yod, He, Vav, He. Uh-huh.
But what do the Hebrew symbols, like what's their meaning? The Yod is the what? The Vav is the what, and the
Hays
are the what.
Let me see.
Oh, you mean which ones are which?
I know which ones are which.
Okay.
Just they mean something.
They do.
Like there's
they
images
do, in fact.
That are easier to hang.
So I don't.
Is one of
this
them
is
a
why we study the Hebrew alphabet.
Yes.
Exactly.
He wrote it down so I don't have to remember it.
Oh, goody.
Yes.
Chicken.
You mean
chicken.
That Lanchia, what she's asking for? And
so,
Yod is like a
white. Yod is a. I kind of knew this without having to look it up, but Yod is the flame.
Okay, there you go.
The flame.
And I just love this image. It's it begins with the flame, and the flame, the breath of spirit, blows the flame out to create all of the other letters. So most all of the other letters have a Yod in them in some form or another. And see, He is, let's see, it means window. It also means to breathe or to exist or to become. So that really fits with that that idea of the breath blowing the flame into the others. Vav is means a nail or a hook or a pin.
Peg.
A peg? No, I think.
Like a peg for a tent.
No, there's another letter that actually is,
okay.
And I don't remember which one that is. Is,
oh,
it, is the tent the tent peg, and so we only need to know three, even though there's four.
Right. Okay.
If anybody still needs to peg, I will gladly accept.
See you next time.